Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for joining me. Tonight we're going to talk about kids and back to school and what's going on with their little bodies and what we can do to help our children. So I just want to start out with a story about one of my patients, and she's a young girl. She's 3 years old. I think she's been coming to me probably for about a year now. And it was so great last week because I think I had 5 or 6 kids coming in the morning to be taken care of. And I love, love, love taking care of children because they're so much easier to take care of, so much easier to handle because their little bodies don't have all the stress built up in them like an adult does at 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or however old we may be. And so I love taking care of kids because it's so much fun to see them respond so quickly. So she woke up, and I guess she must have slept wrong, and she was in pain. And, you know, the first thing she did was ask if her mom could make an appointment for her to come in and see me because she needed her neck fixed because she needed to get to school because it was somebody's birthday that day. And she did not want to miss the birthday, and she knew that whatever we did in the office would make her feel better. And so it's kind of exciting for me to have a little girl know at such a young age that, okay, if I do this, then I'm going to do better and I can get on with my daily activities. So that was just a fun story from last week, and it was just so great to see her respond and so quickly, and off she went to daycare, and she got to celebrate someone's birthday with them instead of missing out. So kudos to her for knowing out of the mouths of babes. So I wanted to start talking about what's going on with our kids now and just get right into it because, you know, we see so many problems with the children nowadays. We've got ADD, ADHD, they've got, you know, we're looking at childhood obesity. We're looking, the kids have ear infections, back pain, neck pain, they're constipated, like, what is going on, you know, because 50 years ago was it like this? I don't think so. And so we have to look at lifestyle, and we have to look at, you know, what's happening? Why are our children, are they misaligned? What's going on? Why do they have pain in their bodies? Well, your brain and your spinal cord control every other system of the body. And I teach that in my healthcare class, but anybody who's new and just listening in tonight and that, you know, you have children, I mean, you know that when your child has a problem, they're extremely reactive, and that's because their body is so healthy for the most part, and the body heals so quickly as a child. But also, too, when it's not right, it can be pretty extreme. So how is it that a young child could have problems? Well, like I said, the brain and the spinal cord control every other system of the body. So what encases the brain and the spinal cord is the spine and the skull. So where does it usually begin? Well, it begins with birth, typically. And so when I see someone when they're 50 or 60 years old, usually they've had a problem since they were really little. And, you know, by the time they get to me at that age, they usually, you know, people usually have disc issues. They have all kinds of things going on, pretty severe problems. But, you know, when they're little, what happens is birth. Birth is very traumatic on a baby's head and neck. And if anybody's ever witnessed a birth, it's pretty intense. And so, you know, it was like, well, I was, you know, everybody has gone through the birth process, obviously, or we wouldn't be here. But what's different today? What's different in today's day and age? Well, C-sections are extremely prevalent now. And so, you know, a lot of times the doctors will opt for a C-section. Well, what does that mean? I mean, most people would think, well, that would seem like it would be a lot easier on a baby, but it's not, actually. What happens is that it happens very quickly, so there's no transitioning. When a baby goes through the birth canal, there's transitioning, and many things happen with the head where the skull is molded. And so that in the process of a C-section, the baby's actually pulled out very quickly, and they're pulled out by their head and neck. And it's extremely forceful. And so that's usually where a misalignment can occur. And if they do go through a normal, the normal vaginal canal, a lot of times forceps are used or the vacuum. And that is using a lot of force pulling on the head and neck. Well, in a baby, the head weighs two-thirds of the body weight. So as soon as that little baby's head comes upright, that little bouncing, the little ball on top of the spine, if it's off and it weighs two-thirds of the body weight, that's a great deal of weight compressing on the spine. And as a result, the nerves get compressed. And then that begins the whole process. So, you know, little kids will, babies will come in, parents bring the babies in to see me, and, you know, they're already constipated, or they're gassy, or they have reflux, or we have failure to thrive, all these issues that are going on. And you know, it's pretty extreme. Well, what's going on? Well, wherever their spine is compressed, wherever those nerves are compressed, you can typically see problems. And so, you know, a small child can't complain about a headache or, you know, neck pain or low back pain. But what they do is they cry. They're uncomfortable. They're not, you know, they're not growing. They're not thriving. And all these things are related to the brain and the spinal cord. So it is crucial to have that baby's head and neck and spine aligned correctly so that when they sit up and they begin to walk, they're walking in a balanced state. And so, you know, the first misalignment can occur at birth. And then first 2 years of life, when a child's learning to walk, they fall 100 times a day. You know, and because we're resilient at such a young age, we just get back up and move around and bounce up back, and we don't think that there's a problem. But what it does is they're the little things. They all start to compile up with each other. And then what happens is that, you know, later on, when they're able to articulate things, then they have other issues. They may have pain. And it's amazing to me, you know, when you watch TV now and they talk about, you know, Johnny's ready for junior strength Tylenol, it just seems odd to me that a child should be ready for any kind of medication. They shouldn't have headaches. They shouldn't have problems. They shouldn't have scoliosis. 80% of scoliosis, 80% are labeled idiopathic, which just means unknown cause. Well, I can tell you typically the cause of that is a traumatic birth. Epilepsy. Epilepsy is often misalignment of the spine because it's a severe discharge of the central nervous system that's occurring. And so usually something pretty severe has happened to that child where they've had some fall, sustained a problem. I took care of a little girl that was having 30 grand mal seizures a day controlled with medication. And I had asked the mother, I said, what happened to her? Because it didn't start until she was 5 years old. Mother said, nothing happened. I said, I can tell you something happened. And she said, no, nothing happened. I said, well, you think about it because I can guarantee you something happened. Well, what happened, she came back to me following visit, and she said, you know, I was thinking about it, and what happened was 6 or 8 months prior to the seizures starting, a garage door came down on her head. But we took her to the hospital, and she didn't have any fractures, or they said she didn't have a concussion, so we just assumed she was okay. Well, that's 3,000 pounds of force coming down on a little head. And the compression that occurred resulted in a huge buildup of charge, and eventually that charge and the nervous system has to come out somehow. And so just by correcting her spine, the seizures diminished, and then they went from 30 a day to 10 a day to 5 to 2 to 1 every couple of weeks, and eventually she stopped having the seizures, which is, you know, miraculous and wonderful. But it just makes sense. So with children, what we have to really make sure is that the foundation is laid correctly. And that's with everything in life. The foundation has to be straight, or the walls in the house are not going to be straight, and the roof is not going to be right, and everything else. So if we start out with a good foundation, if we start out from the get-go in the right position and maintain it and keep it there, then the chances of things occurring as we get older are cut down significantly. Because a lot of the problems that we're seeing today, they have to do with lifestyle and, you know, what we're putting in our bodies and what we're putting in our minds. And so, if we start out with the correct foundation, you know, we're going to raise great functional human beings and that are going to contribute to our society. And I just think it's so important to start with the kids. I love having a practice full of children because it's where it all begins. So once we lay the foundation, then we have to look at what else is going on with the body. So, you know, kids are pretty simple in that, you know, okay, so once we have the brain and the spinal cord communicating, what else do we need to look at? Well, food is a huge, huge issue with many children today. So most of our children are not eating a proper diet. And so what we need to look at is what's going into their bodies. And just as a basic, white flour and white sugar, in my opinion, should be eliminated out of the diet, if at all possible. You know, white sugar acts like rocket fuel, and you as parents know that if your child has some sugar at school or, you know, they've been at a party and they've had cupcakes and cake, you know, their whole attitude changes. You know, they go from being sweet and wonderful to, you know, sometimes the devil's running around your house and they're bouncing off the walls. And a lot of times they have dark circles under their eyes, you know, because their bodies are tapped out. And it's really hard on their little systems. And so it's really, really important to eliminate white sugar. Now, they can, you know, it's all about balance. Life's all about balance. And so having fruits, good fruits, and, you know, things that are sweetened with fruit juice or honey, agave, there's many options that are available now. And it's nice because there's a lot available that, you know, you can make different choices. So just looking at sugars is going to be huge as far as helping with a child stay calm and be happy. And, you know, depression's a huge problem with the kids right now. And a big part of depression has to do with sugar in the diet, artificial sweeteners. You know, I think when I was growing up, I think some of the artificial sweeteners were introduced, the aspartame. And aspartame is actually a neurotoxin. It passes through the blood-brain barrier. And so what does that mean? What's the blood-brain barrier? The blood-brain barrier is what protects us, what protects our brain and our spinal cord. So when we get, the flu or we're in contact with a virus, most of the time it doesn't go to the brain and spinal cord because it is the most critical system of our body. And it doesn't lodge in there. Well, this protective mechanism is called the blood-brain barrier, so things don't pass through that. But yet, aspartame passes right through, and then it breaks down in there, and it breaks down into different components. And one of the components is methanol, which is gas alcohol, and formaldehyde. And so those are toxins or neurotoxins. And, you know, in a little body, I mean, I can't even imagine what that's doing to their ability to think and function. So just eliminating artificial sweeteners and white flour and white sugar. A lot of children now have food allergies, and there's a number of reasons for that. But what happens is that if you eat something continually every day, you're going to develop an allergy to it because the body becomes resilient to it. It's going to try to fight it off. So often just a simple thing you can do with the kids is rotate through foods. And you know, just because something may be good for you, like an avocado, which is a great source of good fat, you shouldn't be giving them avocados every single day because they will develop a resistance to it. And you know, one of the things we do in the office is we have a machine. It's called the Zyto machine, and we run food sensitivities. And we're able to actually see what is that person reacting to or not. And everybody's different. So just because fruits and vegetables are good for you, it doesn't mean that particular fruit and vegetable is good for you. And it changes throughout our lives as our bodies change. And so I think it's always important to be able to look at that, especially with a young child, because, you know, when you're looking at food allergies, again, you can look at behavioral type problems with a child, rashes, dark circles under the eyes again. You know, there's a lot of different ways that will manifest, stomach aches, pain after eating, you know, and again, it can be one thing, and just eliminating that one thing in the body can make all the difference in the world, because a young child is going to respond very, very quickly. So food allergies are very prevalent, and most people don't even realize, you know, what their child is being reactive to. So I think just, you know, a good thing to go by as far as foods go, well, first of all, what you're feeding a child, I mentored a little boy a few years ago, and he wasn't eating well. He was eating, you know, SpaghettiOs and Wonder Bread and Coke, and he couldn't study, and his parents were wanting to put him on ADD medication. And I said, you know, let me teach him how to eat. Let me show him what's good for him. And so what we would do is we would go grocery shopping, and he wasn't allowed, I taught him what good food was, and good food will rot within a week on your counter. And, you know, everything on the sides of the grocery store in the refrigerated section typically is good for you. If it can sit on the shelf for 10 or 20 years, chances are it's not good for you. And what we would do is I taught him how to read labels. And if there were words in the labels that he could not pronounce or did not know what they were, we couldn't buy it. And so it's a fun thing to do with a child, so you can incorporate them into the learning process of, okay, what am I putting into my body and how is it having an effect? And one of the things I did with him is we would go and we would actually make a meal. And we'd make a healthy meal. We would do, you know, some kind of salad, and we would do fish, and we would make salsa, and you know, we would have dessert. We would have some good ice cream and bananas and good chocolate sauce that was organic. And, you know, I asked him the first time we ate, I said, how do you feel after eating? And he said, oh, I feel good. And I said, great. And I said, now how do you feel after you go for fast food? And he said, I feel sick. And I said, that's right. I said, good food nourishes your body and makes you feel good and gives you energy. And bad food makes you feel sick. And he got it. I mean, it wasn't hard to figure that stuff out. And so then he started asking for the good food. So I think kids are really easy to train and have them learn because they know, you know, and they haven't been indoctrinated with so many things as we have or learned to kind of numb out or shut out their feelings and you know, really pay attention. When you teach them how to pay attention to their bodies, they can listen. And what a great skill to grow up with, listening to your body. And, you know, I think that's something that we just don't do. What we do now is when we have a symptom, we typically numb it out. So it's important to put good foods and good water as well into the body. Make sure your child is hydrated and teaching them that they need to drink. And water is water. Coke isn't water, and tea is not water, and soft drinks, any kind of soft drinks or anything like that, it's not water. Water is water, and they need to put good water in their body as well. So, and that, you know, when you look at energy levels in a child, that can affect their energy levels if they're not properly hydrated, and in an adult as well. But it's really critical to make sure, especially, you know, if they're playing sports, that they're well hydrated. So, you know, let's talk about energy a little bit. And, you know, it's such a problem for a lot of kids nowadays. Well, energy can be affected by many things. It can be affected by bad foods. It can be affected by, you know, artificial sweeteners and the soft drinks with the sweeteners, you know, bad diet. But also, you know, our kids aren't exercising really as much anymore. And so they're very sedentary because of our technology era. And so most kids are, you know, they've grown up with in front of the computer playing games, and most kids don't walk to school anymore. They get driven. So there's so many areas where they're just not out. They're not playing. And energy builds up in the body, and it needs to be released. It needs to be discharged. So one of the things, there's a whole technology called grounding, but a basic thing in order to get the energy moving through the body and out is just taking off your shoes and walking on the grass. And what that does is it pulls it out and it grounds you. And that's the whole technology is called grounding. But to pull that energy out, and because it's got to go somewhere. And so, you know, a child really needs to be outside. They need to be moving around. They need to get out and they need to move. And I think that's, you know, that's just something that we're seeing less and less of. And it's really important, I think, to have them in a team activity and sports, and so they get that interaction with other children and learn how to function, you know, on a team level. Because, again, you know, they're sitting in front of the computer playing games all the time. They just don't get that. Now, one of the things also that probably a lot of people don't think about, what also zaps the energy is the EMF, the electromagnetic frequencies that we're getting, and we're getting it from our cell phones. We're getting radiation from the cell phones, from the computers, from the TVs, from the Wi-Fi. We're constantly in the matrix. And so there are things you can actually do to protect the cell phone, to protect your home. There's different, you know, plug-in devices for your home that helps to diminish the electromagnetic radiation. That we have actually little stickers in the office that you can put on the cell phone that doesn't actually stop the radiation, but it helps it be biocompatible with the body so you don't have the DNA damage. And, you know, one of the things I would do is I would make sure that a child is not sleeping with their head near the phone. The phone should not even be close to them at night. You know, our brains, we go to bed at night and our brains are being affected by the electromagnetic radiation. I unplug the Wi-Fi every single night in my home, and, you know, those waves are going into the brain, and you know, that has an effect on the brain. And so there can be memory issues and there can be learning issues. And also, too, that for, you know, young children, brain needs to be fed. It's majority of the brain is made of fat, and you need to give a child good fat, and you can't be afraid of good fat. So they need olive oil, coconut oil, they need walnut oil, you know, flaxseed oil. There's all kinds of different oils. Avocado is a great source of fat, but the brain needs to be fed, especially in today's day and age. So it's really important to protect your child. I would not have a television plugged in a child's room because, you know, when we go to bed at night, that's when our bodies do the most healing. And in order to heal properly, certain things need to be met, and we need to get into that deep sleep at night. And they're not able to do that if their brains are being, if they're hit with a certain frequency and they're not able to, you know, get into that deep sleep. You know, and as well, they know, because the cell phones emit radiation, they know that that causes DNA damage. So, you know, if you think about little girls, we're born with our eggs and our DNA, and that doesn't change throughout our lifetime. So if children are walking around with cell phones in their pockets, what is that doing to the DNA of the eggs and the ovaries, you know, that haven't even, you know, it just seems to me like we don't even stand a chance with that kind of stuff. So it's really important to monitor these things with your children. And, you know, I know, you know, you have to pick and choose your battles, but I think that's one that it's really important to, you know, to really get into and research a little bit. And it does have an effect on energy. It just zaps the energy out of everybody, really. But, you know, that constantly being in front of a screen, it can have a really big effect. You know, so limiting their time in front of the computer, you know, or on the phone, those types of things can make a big difference for your child's energy. You know, and just also, too, getting outside, being in fresh air. I mean, I know those are basic things, but they're really, really critical. So I just want to recap as far as what we've covered tonight. We always want to start with the spine. We always want to get that foundation, the nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord, critical, critical, critical. To me, the most important factor of a good developing body. And then secondly, we need to look at food. We need to look at proper food and proper rest and energy with the child. We have to look at eliminating those things that would zap their energy, you know, and When you do some basic things, the body's designed to work perfectly, given the right information and given the, once the foundation's laid, given the right nutrients. And, you know, if it's missing something, the body needs to be fed. If something's in there that ought not to be, it needs to be eliminated. So those are just some basic things. And you know, my commitment, we just love to get out into community and talk. And so I'm always available to speak to school at schools, and I love going to the preschools and talking, you know, the teachers and the parents and anything, so everything. So if anybody's interested in having me come out, I would love to do that. You know, we're really committed to taking care of kids, and so, you know, I'm going to offer, as far as for the next 2 weeks, anyone who wants to bring in their children, any child under the age of 18, we'll see them for a very low reduced fee. We'll do an initial examination. We'll do a Zyto scan where we can look at their spine and their brain and their spinal cord, and a chiropractic examination if need be, x-rays. Normally that's $350, and we're going to do that for $25 for the kids for the next 2 weeks, so through the second week of October. So I'm Dr. Shannon Connor, and you can reach me at drshannonconnor@att.net. Our phone number of the office is 949-642-5660. So if you have any questions from tonight, you feel free to contact me. If you call, Lauren or Kelsey can get relay a message to me, or if you email me, we'll be happy to get back to you. So thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you, and let's just keep those kids happy and healthy, because they're our future. All right, good night, everyone. Bye-bye.